the Sembrich Museum, the former teaching studio of Metropolitan Opera great Marcella Sembrich. Situated on a wooded peninsula in Lake George is a beautiful studio that contains memorabilia of a distinguished international operatic career spanning more than 50 years. Throughout the summer, the Sembrich presents a series of concerts, lectures, films, and recitals featuring some of today's finest performing artists. They get underway tonight, so what better day to preview all of the cool things happening at the Sembrich this season, and we do so with the Sembrich's artistic director, Richard Wargo. And Richard, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you for having me, Joe.
Always, we know it's summer when you come in. Thank you very much. So let us talk about, I have two questions for you.
Sure.
One, my first question is just out of curiosity. As I was preparing last night, I saw in several things on your website, but other places as well, of referring to Marcella Sembrich as a prima donna. Now, right. We think of that as a negative term sometimes, but you use it as a positive term?
Oh, yeah, I consider it that. Prima donna really literally means first soprano.
Yep.
And especially in her day, she would be hired by an opera company, and for instance, early in her career in Dresden, and she would expect to do all of the leading roles. And often when you hear the Met broadcasts, they'll refer to Renee Fleming doing Violetta and La Traviata, and they'll refer back to Marcella Sembrich as the first soprano who did it. So that's another way of referring to the prima donna, in that she was really the first in many roles and many performances throughout her career.
Because a lot of times we go, oh, wow, Bernie's being a prima donna over there, and we think of it as some of a negative. So to use it in that way, especially when we're talking about this remarkable woman and her incredible career.
But you know what I'm using it in place of? That people are often drawn to the word diva.
And
to me, that seems more negative than prima donna has kind of an elegance to it. So I prefer to use that over diva.
I agree.
If you have to choose between the two, right?
Yeah. Was she a diva in that sense or no?
No, I think she was. She was a perfectionist. So however much that makes one a diva, I mean, she was very aware of standards throughout her career, both as a performer and a teacher. But it was interesting that to perform, when you read accounts of the day, to perform with Marcella Sembrich was to get the good housekeeping seal of approval, because she was, her reputation was impeccable. She was married to the one man her whole life. She represented anything but being a prima donna.
Great order in her life, in the sense of just by the place in Bolton Landing, of that this was a home for her for so many years and was such an important place for her both emotionally and artistically.
Yeah, emotionally, I think, because it brought her back to Ukraine, to what was Poland in her day, and the mountains that she grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Then later in life, during the height of her career, every summer she would go back to Switzerland and summer nearby where Paderewski lived. And when the World War I broke out, that became inaccessible. She came and found first Lake Placid and then Lake George as a kind of to fulfill that need of being near them, part of nature, near the mountains, near the lake, such as Lake George is.
The beautiful thing about what you do at the Sembrich and with your recitals and with the programming that you do, which we'll get into in a moment, is that if you come to hear a musician or to hear a group of musicians, you're right there in the living room. I mean, you're sitting down in the living room, very intimate, beautiful space.
Exactly. And people forget that when Brahms was writing his Lieder, he was intending it more often than not to be performed in a space such as what we have. So and to be I have a particular way that I love to set up, in particularly string quartets, where we place them right in the middle of the room, and each player has a quarter of the audience right behind them. And at first, some quartets, not all, but a little resistant to have people like following the music over their shoulder. It takes a little getting used to, but I think everyone agrees at the end of a performance that it's hearing a quartet like you've never heard it before, not to mention the acoustics of the room, which were built specifically with Marcella Sembrich's oversight. And you know, something interesting, I was at Curtis a couple of years ago and walking around the building, and it looked familiar to me. And I realized that Curtis was built and founded the same year as our studio, 1924. Marcella Sembrich was instrumental in both. So I'm wondering if she maybe had an architect or designer come up from Philadelphia to help with the building of the studio. I haven't been able to find out, but certainly the acoustics are really quite spectacular in our museum.
Your 2017 season begins tonight. You have Opera Saratoga performing at 7:30, and all part of a program being called Sembrich and Her Circle. So talk a little bit about the theme and how that rolls out through the course of the summer season.
Sure. As the Sembrich, of course, one of our missions, our goals, is to keep the legacy and name of Marcella Sembrich alive. And we have to face the fact that over the years, her name isn't as well known as maybe we would like. But if you were to come into our museum, I think within 5 minutes, looking at the walls, here's Marcella Sembrich auditioning for Liszt at 17, performing in a concert with Brahms conducting when she was in her early 20s, performing for Tsar Alexander II. It wouldn't take long, you know, with names like Mahler and Mark Twain, to see that her circle consisted of these amazing people. So, and without a doubt, you'd say that Marcella Sembrich is a person of importance. And so throughout the summer, we're looking to portray Marcella Sembrich as reflected in all of those people that she surrounded herself with, her friends, her colleagues, the world of arts and letters from her time. And as such, we each of our programs has some reference back to someone that she knew and worked with.
And with those parameters, you would think they could be restricting, but they don't seem to be at all. We were playing music coming in by a Grammy award-winning Latin music performer by the name of Raul Jarena. He is going to be part of a World Music Wednesday performance at 1:30 on the 12th of July. So that gives an indication of just how far afield you can go without going far afield.
Sure. I mean, let me give you an example. Our resident artists this year, I know we often have string quartets.
Sure.
And this is where we have one group at the Sembrich for a week. We have the Villalobos brothers coming as a resident artist, and you may think, well, what do they have to do with Sembrich? Well, the tie is Vienna. They studied in Veracruz, Mexico, by a teacher from Vienna, came and taught all three brothers, and the Villalobos brothers are this really wonderful group of musicians. It's a six-piece band, but three brothers, and all play violin, and they're raised and musically trained from a teacher from Vienna in Veracruz, Mexico. And before the performance last year, they were here last year, we had a kind of get together by the lake, checking sound check, all of that. They came into the museum, and I had a recording of Fritz Kreisler playing, and one of the brothers said, well, his teacher studied with the student of Kreisler, and there are all these ties. Each of them study with people that go back to Sembrich and go back to Vienna, go back to Europe. And so it's unlimited, the potential for a theme like this, because there's so many ties go back to Sembrich and her world.
I'm so glad you told that story, because I was thinking of that as one of my questions that I had for you. Was I would think that for musicians, universally, I'm sure, but that for the musicians who come, not only is it a pleasure to play and to be heard, but also to be in a place of such history and to be able to, for themselves and for their own artistic journey, to be able to make some of these links.
And that's really one of the great delights of being artistic director there, is to see the discovery of a performer worried about their own performance, let's say. They're pacing around in the bay room before they go out to play. And then here they see an autograph of Fritz Kreisler on the wall. They see an autograph of Mahler paying tribute to Sembrich. They see Clara Schumann thanking Sembrich for her support of her husband's, Robert's, songs. And frankly, it was my own discovery, too, when I came here many years ago as artistic director, seeing that autograph of Mahler and thinking, well, and then recalling photos I had seen of Mahler's summer home in Switzerland and looking out on the lake. And I thought, Well, yeah, I see the connection after the first startling awareness that here I'm on Lake George and here's an autograph in tribute to Marcella Sembrich given by Mahler, and a similar tribute from Mark Twain on the other wall. So it really is a delight to see performers come and the awareness of the surroundings in which they're performing.
How much thought have you given, and even I'll bring in some of the artists too, how much thought do you think is given to that idea of the importance of the sheer physical beauty of the place? That you are on the shores of Lake George, you have those mountains that you mentioned, very reminiscent of her home country, and the importance for her as an artist, but also for the importance and the beauty for us going to a performance there of being in this place and not only having the beautiful music, but having these views surrounding us.
I think that's part of what the Sembrich offers. And aside from even the collection itself or just the walk along the path, but I think it's the cumulative effect of all of that. And it was interesting, a number of years ago, we were placed on the National Registry of Historic Places. And one of the comments was that, well, it's not just because of the music inside. It's not just because of the nature outside, but it's the cumulative aura of the place that combined make it definitely a very unique and historic place of importance.
So Sembrich and her circle is the theme and celebrating the many luminaries of Marcella Sembrich's world. We have about 3 or 4 minutes left, so I'm hoping you can just give us a little rundown of some of the highlights of the season ahead that starts tonight.
Sure. Well, thank you. Thanks very much. one person I mentioned earlier, and it's actually at the end of our summer, is Mark Twain, and we have a little series called Mark Twain and Music. One of them the date is on August 23rd. Again, I'm moving ahead here, but it's called Mark Twain's Music Box, and it's a lecture recital with 9 musicians. So a lot of performances involved with the talk. But Mark Twain, when he was given a music box in the late 19th century, and he had to choose 12 melodies to go on it. It was one of those where they actually, the metal discs,
yes,
that go in it,
yes,
and he could only choose 12 tunes. So this is a program based around his quest for the 12 melodies that every civilized person should have, if you're all restricted to those.
His perfect mixtape, if you will.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then later that week, we're very excited that we're presenting the New York premiere of an opera by Evan Primo, a composer currently living in Vermont, based on Mark Twain's stories, The Diaries of Adam and Eve. And that'll be on August 26th. But throughout the summer, we have excellent performers. We have the Brooklyn Art Song Society performing music of Mahler, who, again, I mentioned earlier, was connected with her, as was Brahms. And also on that program, we have the Liebeslieder waltzes of Brahms. So here we have 4 singers, piano 4 hands, in a variety of combinations doing the Mahler, and the second half, all performers come back and do the Brahms. And in that setting, in a setting probably when that the type of setting in which that piece was originally performed, I'm guessing. So can I invite people to come to our website, www.thesembrich.org, to check out the whole calendar, because I'm kind of stymied here. I'm looking at all of
you
our
have a
performers
lot there.
And
it's the Sembrich, and it's spelled Sembrich, thesembrich.org. We'll also have a link on our website, so if
terrific,
you can go back to this interview at wamc.org/roundtable with Richard, and you can find the link there. But it's the Sembrich, Sembrich.org. You've been doing this many years. I assume you're still learning about this woman.
Well, that's the thing, the constant discovery. Nothing is set in stone. We're always finding new anecdotes, new stories, and we're always searching for more. So if anyone has any stories, any that they know about Marcella Sembrich, just just contact us.
The season begins tonight with Opera Saratoga. It's at 7:30. And again, you can find out more by going to thesembrick.org. Richard Borgo is the artistic director of the Sembrick. And again, you can find out more at thesembrick.org. Richard, I thank you so much for joining us and for the beautiful work that you are doing in the North Country and for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you so much for
having
me.
My pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.